This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Right now, a historic moment. We can now project the winner of the presidential race. Donald Trump wins the presidency. The business tycoon, a TV personality, capping his improbable political journey with an astounding upset victory.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton.
Donald J. Trump will become the 45th president of the United States, defeating Hillary Clinton in a campaign unlike anything we've seen in our lifetime.
She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory.
Donald Trump wins the presidency of the United States. He is now going to be called President-elect Donald Trump.
I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard.
History has been made. This is a moment a lot of people are going to remember.
Well, thank you for that, Genius Wolf. Yeah. I think we probably will remember that. It's 6:12. A couple of thoughts before we start here. One is kind of obvious. I was wrong. Boy, was I wrong. I've never been more wrong about anything in my life. But having said that, and I said this before, and I'll say it again now, I will do everything I can to do the best I can to support the office of the president. The guy that's sitting in it wasn't my choice. I'm as stunned as most of you are. But at this point, the following is obvious. He is the president-elect of the United States. He deserves everything that goes with that position. And there is no upside to tearing him down if and until he deserves it. So as we go forward on the show, I'm going to pledge to you, with the idea that the staff will check me along the way, that I and you audience members, obviously, that I'll do the best I can to support President Trump as we go forward. Now, there's a couple of things here. Support comes with conditions. And those conditions are it needs to be deserved. His speech at 3 a.m., which I saw, which probably most of you didn't, and most of you probably didn't hear it. We'll try to play some clips of it coming up, was actually hopeful. And there's part of me that believes that he meant what he said at 3 a.m. I will tell you that as of 3 a.m., I had been up for most of the last 24 hours, so I probably would believe anything. But at 3 a.m., it sounded like the truth, and it sounded like hope. I'll also tell you this. Every president who has ever spoken on it says the minute you walk into the office and you start to get a sense of the gravity of the job, your positions on many things change. And the weight of the office and the weight of the responsibility changes who you are to a point where you understand that it's not about you. I think he may already be sensing a little of that, but he won't sense all of it until he gets there. I hope that gives him reason to do the job better than I would think he could, and I have hope for that. One of the things that's really tough is, what do you say to your kids? And I think what you say to your kids really can only follow one path, and that is that last night was an election. It wasn't an endorsement of sexism. It wasn't an endorsement of racism. It wasn't an endorsement of any of the negativities of this campaign. The contest was lost. The results are Donald Trump is the president. It doesn't change your core values. It doesn't change your family's core values. And I think if you're going to communicate anything to your kids today, it's that. The president was elected. The contest was won. It doesn't mean America is now about hating on women and hating on minorities. It's not the case. As far as what goes on from here, we don't know if he's going to build a wall. We don't know if he's going to do any of the, in my opinion, terrible things that he suggested. We also don't know what good he can do. And he deserves an opportunity to do good as well, because, again, he won. Remember, the office is bigger than the man, or someday the woman that'll sit in it. But for now, we all need to take a little time, take a deep breath, a little grief. The five stages, I still think I'm floating around the first one, but this too shall pass. And I'm glad you're here. We'll talk about it. And for all of you who voted for Donald J. Trump, sincerely, I congratulate you. He won.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. We have to get together. to all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people. It's time. I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans. And this is so important to me.
620. I'll check text messages in a second. I can only imagine how much fun that's going to be. Pat Brady with me this morning, and always appreciate that. We'll get to him in just a second, but I want to get to Ryan Burrow in Florida. When Florida fell last night, and I don't mean to make it sound like it was a war, but when Florida fell last night, that seemed to be ball game over, even though there was still a state or two that had to go Trump's way. The overall popular vote is actually this morning, with three undeclared states still in favor of Hillary Clinton. The turnout will matter, but all of this is post game. It doesn't change the results. But Ryan, you're still in South Florida?
I am, yeah, and it was interesting last night because it did take a long time for Florida to finally be called after states like North Carolina and Ohio, and you saw kind of the movement falling Donald Trump's way, and then when Florida happened, it was pretty much, there's your path, Mr. Trump, here's your path to the presidency. And, you know, it's interesting when you start breaking down the numbers. We've been getting some intel from ABC on the exit polling, and what we've seen over the last few election cycles, at least the presidentials, is presidents have always managed to carve out some new part of the voting populace that maybe was not active before. We saw it with Barack Obama among African Americans. We've seen Latinos step up. But this time around, it was the white working class. And it was people. We saw it in Wisconsin. We saw it in Michigan. We saw it in Ohio and here in Florida as well. This kind of group of rural white working class Americans who favored Donald Trump and really kind of went out to the polls and drove up his numbers in some of these areas, which kind of took away and dissolved some of the leads that Hillary Clinton had in places like South Beach and around the Orlando area. So that's kind of the story here. Interestingly enough, too, Hillary Clinton did not necessarily do very well among women.
It's really stunning. It's stunning to me, the Hispanic vote and the vote amongst women, the way it fell. Listen, it's hard enough to find the words this morning, but those numbers are stunning to me.
Yeah, 51% in Florida of women in favor of Hillary Clinton, which when you even look at the other states like North Carolina and Ohio and Wisconsin, you're talking in the 55, 54 range. So, she kind of fell off there. Apparently, the strong Latino vote that she was hoping for wasn't quite as strong as they had seen under President Obama, and the numbers just didn't match up. And as a result, Florida fell.
What is the rest of your day now? Do you stay there and report, or you head somewhere else?
No, I'm going to head back to Chicago, hang out with you guys for a little bit. How's that sound?
All right. Well, the good news for you is you won't be able to get Twitter on the airplane. thanks for the reporting. Nice job of you as always, and ABC as well.
All right. Take care, guys.
Let's go to Pat Brady at 6:23. Andrea Darles will join us from the Javits Center in New York, where I believe she had to sleep on some chairs. Pat, Pat, you and I talked this morning very early, and we both have kids. Adult or soon to be adult kids. And that's one of the things that keeps coming up this morning is, what do you say to your kids?
What I said to my kids, first of all, I was wrong all the way through on this. I never thought Donald Trump could win. And congratulations to Trump supporters. They did it. What I said to my son, particularly Patrick, who was really, really upset, I said basically what you said. They go, it's an election. It's a contest. Now it's time to come together as a country and govern. We've been through worse things than Donald Trump. And I thought his speech last night was pretty good, but I emphasized we are not about some of the things he talked about that you just mentioned in your opening. We're not racist. We don't think that this conduct towards women was appropriate. We don't think a lot of things he's said and done is appropriate, but the United States of America is a great country. It's a country of great people. It's a diverse country, and will prevail. And I think, actually, if he takes this seriously, we all need to get behind him and allow him to govern. The mistake this country made, I believe, with George Bush and with Barack Obama is it was an attack on the presidency the whole time.
Right.
They never got to govern because both sides through that 16 years, thought the guy was illegitimate, which was not fair, and never gave him a chance to govern. Although they both did some good things. I think with Trump, we have to give him the chance to govern. We need to put the partisanship, the elections over aside, and allow him to govern.
The best case scenario is that you and I continue to be wrong, and he becomes an exceptional president.
Yeah, and that's what I hope for. I don't mind rooting hard in a political context. I did it when I was a trial lawyer. You go hard, you go hard, you go hard. But now it's time. I will never root, and nobody ever should, in my opinion. I don't mean to sound preachy, but you never root against the country.
No, there's no upside to it.
No.
No. And by the way, I stand by everything you and I both said during the course of this election up until last night. And I will stick to my pledge on both counts. When he does things that deserve criticism, and he will, I'll bring him up. And I invite you to be here to bring them up as well. But I urge people, everybody, find a way to support Donald Trump. Don't worry, I'll get used to it. Find a way to support Donald Trump as president. The man is not bigger than the office. The man needs help because the office is that big. And it starts today. We don't know that he is going to follow through on any of his, quote, promises/threats. We won't know that for a while. I do know the most awkward meeting of the week is the fact that Barack Obama is going to be welcoming the Trump family to the White House on Thursday, I believe, for coffee.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting meeting, but I hope they both handle it appropriately, and I'm confident the president will, and he will do what he's supposed to do. And I'm a little, and I might be the minority on this, I'm a little disappointed that Secretary Clinton didn't come out last night and give her concession speech. Because that, to me, is the second most important speech we could have heard last night.
Right.
That is the peaceful transition of power. There's not going to be pitchforks. We accept the election results. And I think she should have been out there last night.
A missed opportunity, like this entire campaign appears to be a missed opportunity. By the way, we'll get into this later because it is interesting to those of us that follow politics. 24 hours ago, and it wasn't about cockiness. It was about what we thought was correct. There's plenty of cockiness, but it wasn't about that. We really thought that the Republican Party was looking at a complete rebuild. Mm-hmm. That rebuild may be 4 years away now because it turns out the Democrats are a mess.
What?
The Democrats are a mess in losing the House, the Senate, and the White House. And the Democrat structure that put Hillary Clinton in place as their candidate to win lost to Donald Trump. You try to explain that.
Well, especially because waiting in the wings is Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, who are way far left, way out of the mainstream of this country. And that's who's going to get the voice here. Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders manipulate the media almost as well as Donald Trump.
And I'll tell you the same thing that I've said a million times, and this I'm not wrong about. The far right and the far left are the problem, not the solution. And if we go down that path, and by the way, okay, here's my first sunny statement, puppies and rainbows. Donald Trump is not far right.
That's what my issue is. He's not a conservative.
He's not a conservative. That's right. He says things that fit the moment in the crowd, but he is not a far right problem yet. And I don't believe he has far right beliefs.
If you look at his policy papers, he was left of center. He didn't talk about entitlement reform. He's the thing that actually helped him with the white working class, talking about blowing up all these trade deals. That goes against 100 years of Republican orthodoxy. So, no, he's not a far-right guy. I just hope he's got a great opportunity here. He's got the House and the Senate. And if he can govern from the center and be successful in doing that, he'll have a successful presidency.
I don't understand how every Hispanic with the ability, every Hispanic citizen with the ability to vote wasn't out last night. I don't understand how every woman wasn't out last night. But, again, all that is political breakdown at this point. As to why it went the other way. The popular vote in the end is going to be very close. The electoral numbers will not. this morning, Hillary Clinton is scheduled to speak. I don't know if she still rented the Javits Center. I'm thinking that may have elapsed. She may be in the Lincoln Tunnel at this point. But the
How
fact
would you like to be, and just from a human perspective, be in Hillary Clinton's shoes right now?
No, it's terrible. It's terrible. But the fact is, she was a literal and symbolic rejection. The country rejected her, but they also rejected who they believe she stands for.
This country has never liked coronations. They don't like dynasties. That's what happened with Jeb Bush, and I think that's a lot what happened with her. It's been 30 years of the Clintons, and I think, to me, equal to what happened with Comey's interjection in this race was almost like the rain delay for the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, it's true.
It just stopped it for Secretary Clinton. She was on cruising on her way to victory, and that delay, that doubt, I think, turned a lot of people that may have come out, maybe some of those women you're talking about.
I'm glad you mentioned that, though, because that's another lesson that has to be taken out of this, because the Comey statements, as ill-timed as they were and as bad as they were never what they were made out to be. In fact, they were never a statement of guilt. She's not worthy of the hate and the vitriol directed at her, but she is now a part of history, and she's a footnote. And I don't mean to be dismissive, but that's the fact. The much more important person in your life this morning is Donald J. Trump, and that's what we all need to get used to. It's 6:30. We're back after this with a big story, because Andrea is trapped in the Javits Center and just wants to come home. We'll go to New York next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The scene here is so different than it was a few hours ago when people were happy and relaxed. I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying. We have seen people leaving the venue, including some who have been sitting on the risers behind the podium where Hillary Clinton is supposed to speak. There are people who are just in shock. I've seen mouths open as folks here in the audience are watching the results come in, many of them with their arms crossed and a hand to their mouth. They are just stunned as they watch what is going on here.
6:43 might not feel like it right now, but this country survived a lot worse than this. And this doesn't have to be a lot worse. Yeah, it's me, Steve. Yeah, I'm the one telling you that this could be good. No, I don't believe it either as I say it. I'm saying right now that it could be. Because I choose to support the president.
You know, it's,
and I urge you to do the same.
You know, it's funny about that, funny, but listening to things about the different campaigns, and usually Eric is here now, it probably has seen this. It's amazing to see the people that will take off their buttons from one candidate, put on the other candidate's button, and run to the other party, right? Just to get in under the wire, make sure they were there.
Yeah, like you come out of the bunker and you go, I'm with you guys, the allies.
Exactly.
Eric Herman's here. Eric Edelstein will join us later. We only have Democrat Erics. That's all we can bring in. It's a law. It's a rule. You know, it's relevant only by way of breaking this down and looking forward. What the hell happened to your party? What was that? Did you get a number on the bus that just ran over the Democrats?
You know, I didn't. It happened so quickly. I didn't get to write it down.
Who has a pen at a time like this?
Right.
It might have been an express train.
It's just shocking, staggering. I actually don't think it was a Democrat versus Republican issue, although I know that that's how it played out in partisan terms. I mean, I think really at the presidential level, Trump and his campaign channeled a lot of the same things that the Sanders campaign channeled, which is anger at the political establishment,
right.
Anger at the elites. And that, and I think that there is a lot of, there was a lot of passion on the Trump side. There wasn't on the Clinton side. I can't tell you how many people I know told me, yeah, kind of with a shrug, yeah, I'll vote for her.
You know, well, Pat Brady and I were talking about this. There was passion for not voting for her. There wasn't passion to vote for her.
Right.
That's a problem.
Huge problem.
So to me, last night was not as much, and you know, it'd be tough to break this down numerically, about just angry white guys from coast to coast. This was a rejection of two things, a rejection of Hillary Clinton as a candidate, and that means Clinton in total. That's Clinton from the 90s until now. Unfair, in my opinion, but a rejection of Hillary Clinton and a rejection of the idea that over the last 30 years, we would have two families take up 90% of the air in the White House. You know, it's just it's what, and frankly, that's a large reason why I think they said no to Jeb Bush and $150 million. That had a lot more to do with the fact that his last name was Bush than that he was a terrible debater.
I think those are excellent points. I think there's something else going on, too. And I think that in a way, a version of this played out in the Brexit vote in Britain. There is a huge backlash happening in these Western democracies against globalization and against what is perceived as the elites having fealty only to stock prices and shareholder value and so on and so forth, and not having fealty, again, this is the perception, to countries and communities. And I think that's a huge problem. And I think you have a lot of people who voted for Trump and who voted for Brexit who feel left behind by the structural changes that have happened in the economy. And I think that's been a huge driver. It's a huge driver of the Sanders campaign, too.
Well, and that's the thing. When you saw the Sanders campaign, it's easy now because he looked like your crazy uncle. But when you saw the Sanders campaign as a roadmap of what was actually happening in your own party and you actively ignored it and had an architecture to block it, you were mirroring what was going on the Republican side to just the block there didn't exist. So nobody should wake up surprised in the big picture, because the surprise I have, the surprise everybody has, and I don't come at this as a Democrat, but the surprise we all have is how'd that guy get elected? That guy got elected not based on the strength of his positions. That guy got elected in a perfect storm of BS like this country has never seen.
Absolutely. I mean, we got to remember that Trump is a charlatan. I mean, he will say absolutely anything.
Well, he was yesterday. Now he's your president-elect.
Well, I'm still getting my mind around that.
Yeah, I know.
But you're correct.
Yeah.
No, but he is a guy. I mean, I used to cover him as a reporter years ago in New York. He will say absolutely anything. It's really hard to know what he believes. I mean, I was thinking this morning, we have no idea what kind of president he's going to be.
We don't.
Because we don't know what he really thinks about
anything. But you know what? That's good. Because if we believe...
It could be, but it
could be bad.
It could be bad.
But if you get up this morning and you believe he will execute every negative thing that he said, you should be headed for Canada this morning. I don't believe he will. I also don't believe he can.
I agree.
But I don't believe he will. Now, but I think it's really important how the Democrats react to this and how the Republicans react to this, because Congress will drive this. So when we come back, I want to get Pat involved with this as well so you two can discuss this, because this ain't time for a touchdown dance on either side.
We're going to get to work immediately for the American people. And we're going to be doing a job that hopefully you will be so proud of your president. You'll be so proud. Again, it's my honor. It was an amazing evening. It's been an amazing two-year period. And I love this country. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you to Mike Pence. Thank you, everybody.
I will say this. Remember when Jesse Ventura ran for governor and won? And I called him the next morning to congratulate him, and he picked up the phone and went, "What the hell did I do?" And he didn't say what the hell. There's got to be a little bit of Donald Trump going, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, I wasn't counting on this."
Greatest political movie ever, The Candidate with Robert Redford, a 1970s movie. And the last scene is all his consultants are standing there in the packed room where he won the Senate race in California. And he looked at his consultant and says, "What do I do now?" And the consultant acted like he didn't hear him and walked out the door.
No, I thought Peter Boyle plays the consultant, right?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know.
I thought he said, "Well, that's your problem." Or did I imagine?
Yeah, well, there could be something like that, a throwaway
line. Yeah, somebody,
line.
Anyway, Redford's like, whoa. What do I do?
First Lady of Melania Trump picking out the drapes, the kids figuring out if they can get a cabinet position, and Mike Pence going, "Can I play too?" That's what we're waking up to. But I will say again, I was wrong. I've never been more wrong about anything in my life. These are scary times. But the fact is, every president I've ever had the privilege to speak to, every president I've ever read about, have all said the same thing. You don't understand the weight of the office until you get there. And the partisanship falls away very quickly when you realize the responsibility that you have.
Get the full national security briefing.
Yeah, and you have to believe. You have to. You have no other choice. You have to believe that Donald Trump has some measure of goodness in him, that he will try to do the right thing. If you don't believe that, listen, it's going to be a much tougher day today, tomorrow, and the rest of the week, and the rest of the year. What should the Republicans do? Because we're going to see the dunderhead congressman here or there that won that's going to want to go and do a touchdown dance. You're going to see some of the surrogates yapping. Doesn't there have to be a mirroring of Trump's 3 a.m. speech this morning?
Yeah, but I think the members of Congress need to listen to the country, too. The country spoke last night, and whether you like it or not, they need to digest what was said and try to keep do what the people, this country, the people govern. And you have to listen. When you get a message like you got last night, you got to take a look at it. And I think that's what a lot of our candidates in the primary and Hillary Clinton in the general just didn't pick up, that there's a real anger out there. And you need to come up with policy positions that are going to address those concerns. That's the first thing they need to do. And I'm hoping as a Republican, and we had a huge night last night at all levels, including here in the state of Illinois, where we picked up four House seats and two Senate seats. But they need to look at that first. And secondly, I hope they reach out to the Democrats and come up with a center governing coalition that we can actually get some things done and keep the Republican Party in the shape it's in right now.
And Eric Herman, the Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi's of the world need to go quietly into the night. And there needs to be new leadership for the Democrats. I know Harry Reid's term is up anyway. But the Nancy Pelosi old school, everything a Republican ever did or said sucks, and they're all wrong. If there's more of that being echoed, and we got screwed, and all of that, the Democrats are just going to fall apart completely.
Yeah, there definitely needs to be some new blood. I think that, Chuck Schumer is going to be immensely important.
A moderate, by the way, and he needs to figure out how to find the middle.
Dick Durbin, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
100%. But I think that the Republicans have a lot of soul searching to do as well, because, and I actually think what's the interesting story for the next year or two is going to be what happens in your party, Pat, because there is a schism between the Trump voters and the old fashioned, what I think of perhaps unfairly as the country club Republicans, the Republican Party as the party of big business. Those Republicans support free trade. They support rights for corporations and big business and so on and so forth. That's not necessarily in line with the sentiments that drove the Trump campaign. So I think there's going to be an interesting
That's a fair point. Tension. I think there's a lot of Republicans who did not vote for Donald Trump yesterday, whether they voted for Hillary Clinton or didn't vote for president, or they voted for somebody else on the ticket or wrote in Donald Duck, it doesn't matter. But there are Republicans who were frightened to death of Trump and didn't want Trump to be the next president, and their voice needs to be heard as well, whether they're hiding today or admitting it.
Got to listen. There was a big message sent last night, and you got to listen. You got to tailor your strategy going forward to what happened. I mean, be smart about it within the conservative, hopefully within the conservative ideology. And I think, listen, the Republicans in the last 8 years, we picked up 960, I think, legislative seats. We have 30 governorships, had a huge night last night. So for whatever schisms there might be, and there are schisms, we've had a pretty good 8 years. So something's going right with the policy ideas they're talking about. I'm not saying Trump's idiotic things about the wall and sexist comments and all those other things, but there's something that the American people like about what the Republican Party's doing, and I think we need to listen and grasp that and go forward, but don't go nuts about it. Don't go too far to the right.
Well, but what is the – let's just take one question. I remember when the Republican Party – and I'm a Democrat, but I remember when the Republican Party was always thought of as the party of business. I don't think you can say that anymore, at least not under, not Trumpism. He opposes free trade. He opposes immigration.
Hey, those are the reasons I didn't think that he'd be a good presidential candidate, but I'm not sure – and you said it earlier – I'm not sure what he believes, and that's the point for the leadership – in Congress to get to the president, come up with policies that are responsive to what just happened, and go forward and try to govern. If he does that, he'll be successful. If he doesn't do that, if he does these issues you talk about, particularly immigration, takes that tone, it'll be a rough couple of years.
Remember the movie Zelig, the Woody Allen movie, where he would turn mm-hmm. into whatever he needed to turn into please the room?
Mm-hmm.
Trump's like an angry Zelig. He's like an angry Zelig who comes in the room. I'll be whatever you want me to be, but I'll be angry while I'm doing it. But he is the president-elect, and we're going to find a way to make this country work. Gosh darn it.
We don't have a choice.
That's exactly right.
That's right, Pat.
Eric Herman, where do we follow you? Or are you leaving the country?
No, sir. I'm staying here.
Up I-41?
I'm on Twitter, E.W. Herman on Twitter.
Nice to see you. I always appreciate when you help us out.
It's great to be here.
Good to see a Democrat smiling this morning.
Well, it's just because I get to look at you, Steve.
Yeah, well, I know that's not true, but I appreciate you saying it out loud.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Ronald Reagan is headed for an overwhelming victory over President Carter.
It now appears President Reagan has won and has won big.
The state of Michigan, which handed Michael Dukakis his worst defeat in the primaries,
has just put George Bush over the top.
Governor Clinton is now President-elect Bill Clinton. William Jefferson Clinton has a job for four more years. Stand by. CNN right now is moving our earlier declaration of Florida back to the too close to call column.
Is there clarity yet to precisely where the vice president is headed?
There's clarity in the sense, Frank, that he is headed out of this race.
John King is telling us that, in fact, Senator John Kerry has called President Bush to concede.
Barack Obama, 47 years old, will become the president-elect of the United States. Barack Obama will be re-elected president of the United States.
With an astounding upset victory, Donald J. Trump will become the 45th president of the United States.
As always, great job, Jake. That's a network news call of nine presidential elections. And I'm telling you without reservation, none of them come close to last night. It's not the Cubs winning the World Series. This is nothing you've ever lived through. This is the biggest upset in every definition of the word upset that you could have possibly had. And it's happened. And as I said at the top of the show, well, let me just read a couple of texts here. 630, good morning. I can't turn the radio or television on. I'm sorry. I don't want to listen or hear it. But then at last night, it is the reason why. At 10 o'clock, I turned it on and my TV punched me in the stomach. 773, Steve, impressed by you this morning. Well, that's nice. Thank you. 219, I have a feeling we'll be saying President Pence longer than we'll say President Trump. Hashtag new Nixon. 847, historical parallel. 2016 Cubs win the World Series. Less than a week later, Trump wins the presidency. 86 Bears win the Super Bowl. A week later, the shuttle explodes.
Oh, wow.
Too soon?
Too soon.
708, we don't even get a week to be happy about the Cubs, and this happens. Hoping for the best, but sad today. I'm thinking of some of Mike Pence's extreme views. Thank you and Pat Brady for your encouraging words. I would just say to you again, as you get up this morning, you know, and so many people are saying, what do I say to my kids? I think it's probably the most important message of the day over anything else, and that is this. Last night was an election. Yesterday was an election. The campaign led to yesterday's election. It's not an endorsement of racism, of bigotry, or any of the other negativity that came out of this. Donald Trump was elected. He's not bigger than the office. I'm with you. It's scary times and scary days, but the best way to get the best out of this, and however it turns out, is to support the office of the president, whoever is sitting in it, to the best of your ability. I'm going to try, and I hope you will as well. But don't let your kids walk around today thinking America has come to an end over this, because that is not the case. We've fared very well in far worse circumstances, and this is not an endorsement of Trump's views. This is an election, a contest that he won. Cleansing breath. Rick Pearson's here. Nice to see you, my friend.
Good to see
Even
you.
Even today, it's nice to see you.
Yes, good to see you as well, Steve.
Let's go in obvious order here. Is this, by way of everybody you've spoken to and your analysis of this, because nobody knows this stuff better than you, an endorsement of angry white guys in America or a rejection of Hillary Clinton?
I think it's a combination. I think, quite frankly, one of the things that so-called media elites have missed the boat on is that the whole issue of income inequality tied to globalization. And I think really that's something that Trump tapped into. In fact, we probably should have figured that out with the issue of immigration right out the block.
Well, but you know, you make a great point right out of the gate, because, and Pat, you've said this as well, Trump wasn't wrong about everything. As a matter of fact, he was right about a lot of things, but encompassed in the things he was right about was this giant cloud of S-word that you had to wade through to get to that point. And what you're talking about, the idea that we're spending billions and trillions and trillions of dollars overseas and I can't get a raise at work and my factory's going to shut down, yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, a very big deal. And in fact, you know, when you think of the Republican ideals of free trade, and then here is Trump, who's the antithesis of that whole ideal. Yes, I'm as stunned as everybody else, and I think, you know, I was going through the exit polling and kind of taking a look at the national exit poll, and then you look at Illinois, and I think Illinois was the way that the Clinton campaign figured
the usual states, the usual suspects, like Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania would get.
She didn't lose by much, but all you have to do is lose.
Right.
And that's what happened around the country. You mentioned polls.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a worse business to be in today than to be a pollster. Have we ever seen anything where the polls were this wrong?
No. But I will say my good friend Ann Seltzer out in Iowa does the Iowa poll for the Des Moines Register. A week ago had Trump up 7. I think he finished plus 10. And her polls are the gold standard. But, yeah, as far as everything else, the tracking polls, just a miserable failure.
Except the L.A. Times. That poll that was maligned the whole way through ended up being closer to accurate than the rest
in their tracking poll.
In their tracking poll.
Partner of the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah.
All right, a couple of important questions to this audience, important questions to all of us. One of his core pledges was, I'm going to knock off Obamacare on day one. Executive orders are a very strong tool that the president can use. Congress can choose not to fund them. But he could write a blanket executive order for any number of things that President Obama put into place or things that are already in place. I think it'd be disastrous to start out that way, but do you think he'll do it?
I don't think he has to do it. I mean, I think now, you know, with the fact that it's one party control in Washington, I think he doesn't have to take that extreme step. And in fact, that's what's going to be interesting to watch is this relationship in a one-party control, but it's not really one party. And how, I mean, is Paul Ryan going to be speaker? Or are there still hard feelings with the Trump camp of the president-elect to the way he was treated by Paul Ryan? We're all about unanswered questions right now, but I think trying to go the executive order route, it's not necessary.
It's an interesting point. Secondarily, he had never declared that he would, well, by the way, we still haven't seen his taxes. He never declared that he would shut down his businesses or take his interest away from his businesses. What rule do we have for the president of the United States in regards to personal property and personal profit?
I'm not sure. I mean, and here again, we're off the template with Donald Trump, is that, you know, most people put things into blind trust
yeah.
But I'm not sure that that's any kind of a rule. I'm not sure what the conflict of interest issues are at stake there.
Do we need a Department of Conflict of Interest now where somebody can actually watch it?
Well, I think we might.
We've got federal criminal laws, too,
right,
that he has got to watch out for. I mean, there are a lot of laws that are you go to jail for things you do, being in that position, when you've got interests. So he's got to be very careful.
And perjury being your biggest problem.
Well, and also it can't be like the campaign where his campaign funds helped, actually got funneled back into some of his business interests and paying for the airplane and things like that, which you can't do that with taxpayer money.
Are you running to do TV or did you just finish TV?
No, I have to run upstairs.
All right, quick question then before you go.
Didn't he look better with the makeup on?
You're wearing makeup?
just a touch.
The cabinet position question. The names that continue to come up are Giuliani, and I don't have to say, you know, listen, I had a lot of respect for the mayor after 9/11. I think he's got a screw loose. I think the train's off the tracks. And Newt Gingrich, who has been on the show many times. I think he's a brilliant guy. I also think he's a colossal pain in the ass. He for Secretary of State and Giuliani for Attorney General, under the notion that Chris Christie is going to be in court at some point so he wouldn't get appointed. There's approvals that those people would have to go through. Are all cabinet positions congressionally approved?
Well, the top cabinet-level positions, okay, including assistant secretaries, are. But here again, Republicans have control of the Senate.
I don't think people sunk in as bad as it might feel for some of us. Republicans had a huge night last night.
Right.
Huge night. And even in Illinois, had a pretty big night. So
yeah, and Jim Durkin will be on later to talk about that. But the idea is just because you won doesn't mean you take care of the ball, right? I mean, you got to do the right thing now.
Yeah, I hope so. And if you want to win again, that's how you do it. But if you do things that are executive orders to wipe out Obamacare, that's probably a bad idea. Now, there's some things they need to fix in Obamacare, but let's have a debate about it and get the public to sign off on it before you do things like, quite frankly, George Bush did and President Obama did, too much executive order.
Plug Sunday.
Sunday Spin, Mr. Brady is joining the show. We're doing.
Pat's just living in the studio now.
My predictions are wrong. I'm not showing.
Okay. I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay. Bob Sector, my former colleague at the Tribune, is now at the BGA, and David Yepsen from Paul Simon Institute, and we're going to rehash all the results.
Rick's off the TV. Thanks, bud. Appreciate you dropping down at 7. And obviously, read him in the Chicago Tribune.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We showed a campaign that respects the voters and is focused on practical solutions rather than shop-worn slogans can actually be successful. We showed that a relentless focus on rebuilding Illinois' middle class and respecting hard work rather than wealth can be successful, too. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Oh, my gosh.
It's Tammy Duckworth, new senator from the great state of Illinois. That Brady's here. I tweeted this out last night, and I think you'd agree with me. We owe a great deal of thanks to Mark Kirk, not just for his service in the military, but for the fact that he stood up for what he believed in and not believing in Donald Trump right away, and also for the fact that throughout his time as a senator and a congressman before that, he was a guy that would work with Democrats readily and continue to do so. I have nothing but hope for Tammy Duckworth. She's a nice person. I hope that Senator Durbin can, get her schooled up as fast as possible for the ways of the Senate. But I'm going to miss Senator Kirk.
I am, too. He's a patriot. He's been a great public servant. He took some very courageous positions as a Republican, including one of the first senators. I think he might have been the first senator in the United States to come out in support of marriage equality. So he's a friend, and I wish him the best in whatever he does next. I know he'll continue to serve.
We have tickets for your Chicago Blackhawks. The staff is going to lose their mind today with me because I'm sure I've already lost the price sheet. So, Jake, why don't you tell me which game this is for? Because I'm sure you have that in front of you somewhere. This is the Chicago Blackhawks Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing Giveaway. We'll make it the seventh caller. The seventh caller. You're going to win these tickets and qualify for season tickets. Now do the rest of the plug.
And they play hockey, by the way. Blackhawks.
Thank you.
They do. And they're going to be playing against Washington on Friday at the UC. Again, you'll be entered for the Four Seasons tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online. 4SeasonsHeatingCooling.com.
4SeasonsHeatingCooling.com. 312-981-7200. Seventh caller will win those tickets. Right now, okay, 729, couple of more textures. Textures, you're welcome all morning, and we'll get to them as much as we can and as fast as we can. 847, the sentiments that drove this election, even those for those who cringed at voting for Trump, was the economy and being sick and tired of people who work harder on the reelection than they do at representing us. I mean, absolutely. How could you not agree with that? Right?
That's a great point.
219, did Gary Johnson win the election for Trump? The answer is no. 847, no one has mentioned issues with the Electoral College. Hillary won the popular vote but still lost. When the votes are tallied, she won't have won the popular vote. However, the popular vote was much closer than the Electoral College score was. The same thing was true of Romney Obama in 12 and is often true. It's a longer debate, but if you want to get rid of the Electoral College, you have to take that up. In 847, Trump's win may be the best possible result for Democrats instead of the next 4 years being taken up with scandals and investigations. They'll be taken up with scandals and investigations by Trump. It's a funny audience. You got to laugh, kids, so you don't cry for too long. It's 7:30. Again, Hillary Clinton will speak in about an hour. Andrea should have something on that next when we come back.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president. And the reason is because I have a lot of faith in the American people.
Donald Trump cannot win a choice election.
Without college-educated white voters, Donald Trump can't win.
Because if Donald Trump can't win over the overwhelming majority of members of his own party, he just can't get the votes he needs to win the election.
Can Donald Trump win a general election?
My view is no, but we'll see.
In the words of Rick Perry, whoops. 7:44, I'll say again what I said at 6:10 this morning when Pat Brady said to me at 5 o'clock this morning on the phone, man, were we wrong. Holy cow, were
they
we wrong.
Do they have any clips of us? I assume they do.
Yes.
Talking about Trump could not win.
I've told Jake those are on erasable tape. Here's the...
I got to do Roe this afternoon, too, and he's been all over me.
Roe has actually left the country. Roe's in the witness protection program. Here's the deal, kids, and I mean this with all sincerity. As I said, it's right off the top of the show this morning. You need to do whatever you need to do, and so do I, to support the president-elect, President-elect Trump, to the best of your ability. There is no upside to not doing that. Now, if I can find a way to needle, I will. But I refuse to not support. And but this goes to when Bush was in office and the Democrats beat the snot out of him, when Obama was in office. There's plenty of opportunities to point out the shortcomings of presidents and president-elects. He won. He won, and now's the time to support him and try to figure out a way to help him be the best he can be. That's the best for everybody, is that he turns out to be great. By the way, I hope I'm completely wrong, and I hope he's a great president. Hope is all I have right now. It's
hey, listen, that's we exercised our First Amendment rights and said all the way through we didn't think this is the right guy, but now he's won. We can't question the legitimacy of the process.
Right.
And he's our president, and you can never support root him. Against the country.
No, because that's exactly right. You root against the president, you're rooting against America. Well, 7:45.
We'll talk it through, Steve. We'll talk it through.
At 7:45, we will now correct something that came from the Clinton campaign. Seems like they could have gotten this right. Hillary Clinton will speak at 9:30 our time, not at 8:30. She has pushed it back an hour. We're not sure.
Not at the Peninsula anymore. Did she go to the Four Seasons? Or
they may have had an opening in the lobby. Yeah.
Why don't you go to the Holiday Inn?
Yeah, it just seems like at this point that really was not a great visual. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're looking for another venue.
Maybe just go up to the Hamptons.
I'm not sure she has a political future at this point, so I'm thinking it doesn't really matter what her photo ops are. At 7:46, Eric Edelstein in a moment, but let's get Mary back with your traffic update first, and we'll continue with the morning after it happened. Sounds like a horror movie, doesn't it? The morning after it happened. President-elect Donald Trump.
Are they going to put that in the building over here now? Is it going to be President-elect Donald Trump building, or is it just going to stay Trump?
I think as president, he can leave his name up there.
And what about their little street sign they already took down?
I think that's going back up as well.
The American people have spoken, and the American people have elected their new champion. America has elected a new president, and it's almost hard for me to express the honor that I and my family feel that we will have the privilege to serve as your Vice President of the United States of America.
Mike Pence, a heartbeat away from the most powerful position on the planet, which will now be occupied by Donald Trump. President-elect Trump will meet with the Obamas on Thursday. Awkward. 7:51. If you're tired of the media, I would suggest you not turn on any of the news channels or any morning TV this morning, because the same people that were banging on Trump for the past year are now analyzing how everyone else got it wrong and not taking credit for it. I'm here to tell you, I was wrong. And the only one more wrong than me is my friend Pat Brady.
I've been wrong for 539 days.
Well, let's go to Eric Edelstein, another guy that was wrong. Eric Edelstein standing by. And congratulate you on Raja's victory.
Thanks, Raja, and Brad Schneider, and one Susana Mendoza. I know you weren't for that, but we got that one too. So we had a mixed night, obviously a big national surprise. We were wrong. I thank you for not playing the loop of Brady and myself on all those clips saying Donald Trump couldn't win.
Not possible. Can't happen.
I mean, it is stunning. But, Steve, I you know, to your credit, the office is bigger than one man. There is the genius of the system that way. And as upsetting and disorienting as it is, as you say, the country goes on. And you got to support the office. And that's what democracy is about. It's tough, but that's where we are.
The breakdown, and this comes from CNN, of how the vote laid out. African Americans went for Hillary Clinton 88% to 8%, but the turnout numbers were down significantly without Barack Obama in the race. Latino, 65% for Hillary Clinton, 29% for Trump. The fact that 29% of Latinos voted for Trump is fairly stunning. 18 to 29-year-olds, 54% for Clinton, 37% for Trump. They all did not come from angry white folks. They just didn't. So whether there was a secret vote there, oh, yeah, I voted for Hillary, and they went in and they flipped the Trump switch, we'll never know. But also, I believe when we look at, and maybe you know these numbers, Eric, I don't. I believe the number of female voters who turned out was lower than expected. And the last thing I saw last night was about 100 million votes cast, something of that number. And in 2012, I think it was 115 million. So everybody showed up early to vote. And even though we heard about a lot of lines yesterday, the overall number was down.
Well, it was. And again, I think all those numbers you say are relevant, but you got to take them with a grain of salt now, because all the numbers, the exit polls, the tracking polls, as Pat said, maybe the LA guys got it right, or maybe it's a broken clock that, you know, was right twice a day, but it was all off. So I think, you know, you talked a week ago, you asked us whether there was social pressure, whether there's people that wouldn't admit in polite company they'd vote for Trump. You know, there's no, of course, all the people voting for him don't hold all those views or want to deport Muslims or are racist. I think it's a big middle finger to this system. You know, I think that Pearson put his finger on it. We're at a moment of incredible disruption. As flawed as Trump is, he gave voice to that. And a lot of people said, you know, I don't take him literally, or he's a buffoon, or they even acknowledge he's a clown. I sat through lots of focus groups where they said that, but they said, somebody's got to give a middle finger to this system because it's broken. And that's what happened in a major way.
I got to say, the thing I was most wrong about was getting caught up in my own head in this regard. I thought, yeah, I don't want to vote for Hillary, because I didn't. You both know that. But the fact of the matter is, I couldn't believe that people would vote for Trump after you saw what he did, what he said, and what he was exposed to be. What I didn't account for, and I heard it anecdotally over again, 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 and again over the last 6 months, is just the same sort of passion, and maybe more passion, about people that said, don't care, can't vote for Hillary, can't vote for Hillary, don't like Trump, but I can't vote for Hillary, and I never took it seriously enough.
Right. The other thing I would say, and again, there's no excuses to be made, there's just sort of searching through the detritus to figure this out, but you can't ignore Comey's role in this either. This is as you said earlier on the show, this is not a blowout for Trump. This is an incredibly close election.
Right.
She may end up winning the popular vote. And to have 11 days of basically the FBI director throwing this bomb in the middle of this race saying, you know, she could be on the edge of being indicted. You know, you can't, again, not forgiving the campaign or taking credit away from Trump or voice to the disgruntled, but that is a major factor in this outcome as well.
The Comey thing to me was the equivalent to the rain delay for the Cubs. It just slowed it down, and the people that are on the fence, I was just amazed, and Steve just touched on this, just the number of people that I talked to on our side and in the middle, it just do not like Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's the royalty thing, the coronation thing, or just too much time on the stage. I don't know.
Well, it's also, you know, when we all started talking about this a long time ago, we said it's pretty unprecedented after two terms of one party to have the same party hold office. We said she was kind of a very flawed messenger in a change electorate to be someone who's really part of all the institutions, part of the past. Despite all that, you know, we were all such geniuses because we said, but she's running against this really, really flawed guy and she'll eke it out. But if you just looked at the basics, and we all said it from the beginning, you know, there was a lot of headwinds she had. Now, she made some of it worse. The FBI made a lot of it worse. And, you know, to Trump's credit, the guy believes in himself. He tapped into something and he got it done.
One of the things we talked about constantly is the lack, but you guys both mentioned this. She was not an aspirational candidate. Why did you want to run for president? What makes you want to be president? And so many times it came back to the answer, well, it's my turn. Not that she ever verbalized that, but that's the way you felt. Like there was an entitlement piece to that as well. Negativity is not an aspiration, but the passion for negativity is, and anger and negativity won the day here. And I don't think we ever gave that energy enough credit as well, that if you're pissed off enough, you're going to take action. And a big chunk of this country was, And that's part and parcel to why we're in this position this morning.
Well, it started with the Tea Party movement, and I know there's a lot of criticism of that, but I remember when they did the mortgage forgiveness, the president did, and we had the rant on the board of the Merck or wherever it was, the board of options, and that kind of started this anger
right.
that continued.
Well, look, here's the bottom line, and I'll leave you guys with this, and both of you give me your take on this. I don't know that it matters so much which of the policies he institutes first. It matters which policies he chooses to institute. And what really matters more than anything is now he's got to do the job. So for those of you that have put your faith in him, God bless you. You won. But God bless America, because now we have to entrust the power of the presidency with him, and the fact that he will be able to make those deals he said he could make, to negotiate the way he said he could negotiate, and to do the most difficult job on the planet. To me, that's the big question.
It's a huge question, and yet, you know, you also have obviously complete Republican control in Washington now. They own it. And as fractured as they were, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens with Speaker Ryan and Trump. Is he going to be vindictive or try to work with him?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:12, the morning after the night before. We will be fine. This is the United States of America. We will thrive. We will survive. We will prosper. And again, the best case scenario is Trump is a great president. So I don't know about you. I won't change a word of what I said leading up to this, but I stand by what I just said, and I'll pray for that, that he's better than I ever thought he could be and that he's great. I also promise you that when he's not great, I'll say it. 8:13. Senator Durbin is on the phone. The Democrats need their own autopsy. The Republicans didn't pay much attention to it in 2012. Now, I don't know if that mattered or not. But Senator Durbin joins us this morning. And before we talk about Senator-elect Duckworth, what's your take on what happened?
Well, I can tell you, Steve, I went from the heights of the Cub victory to the depths of last night's defeat in six days.
Sure.
So a lot of people joined me in that journey. I look at it this way. What would I have expected the Trump supporters to do if Hillary won? Well, number one, accept the legal verdict of the election. The American people have spoken. Number two, try to find some constructive way to work together. And number three, stand by your values, but do it in a civilized way. That's what America is all about. So I'm going to try to follow those rules myself.
When will you reach out to him?
Well, I think it's going to be the other way. I think once he gets moving forward with his administration, there'll be an effort to reach out to members of Congress. I'll be back in Washington next week, and we'll see if there's any overtures made then.
Well, that's I understand that, and I don't know if that's direct protocol or not, but you're not just a member of Congress. As one of the leaders in the Senate, you're going to be a very important person going forward that he and his administration will need to pay attention to. Does that not handle that way, where you and Schumer and others would get a meeting?
It's a little different. The meeting may take place, but, you know, usually the transition is done off the Hill, and sometimes outside of Washington. And President Obama 8 years ago was ensconced in a building here and in the southern end of the loop for
right.
several weeks while people came and visited with him. So we'll see. You know, I'm more than happy to meet with the president-elect under any circumstances, but we'll see how he wants to handle it.
I've made the point multiple times this morning that this is not an endorsement of some of the horrible things that came out of Trump's mouth during the campaign. This is simply a contest, an election. And because of that, women should not get up this morning feeling like there's no chance for a woman to be president, or assume that Muslims are going to be banned and that African Americans are going to be mistreated or any of that. I mean, we can't go with those assumptions. We just can't.
No, we can't. But I can tell you already, having done a train station with Cammie Duckworth this morning, that the emotions are running high. And when people are breaking down in tears in front of us, you know, there's a real concern about the direction this nation is headed because of some of the things that were said during the campaign. You just hope, if you look at the span of history, that the office and the awesome responsibility will help make the man a better president and that he'll realize his responsibility to everyone.
Hey, Senator Pat Brady, congratulations on your wins last night here anyway. Going forward, can he do to reach out to the Democrats, maybe on a policy or any, something else that is going to set the right tone for this presidency so we can actually, I know you're a guy that likes to get stuff done. What can he do?
Pat, first let me tell you, Steve may be surprised to know that we're friends. I respect different political parties, but I respect some of the tough positions you've taken over the years, and I'm happy that we can have this kind of positive dialogue. Where would he start? Maybe infrastructure. It's one thing that America desperately needs. As a businessman himself, he knows that. And maybe that's a good starting point. It was something that Hillary Clinton spoke of. I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump did the same.
Well, that's a great idea. When I read that, that was something that she was thinking of doing. That could really, you could sell that on both sides.
It's literally a bridge, right? It's literally and figuratively a bridge between the two parties right away.
But it's broader, right? It relates to health care and things like that. It's not just bridges. It was going to be broader than that, from what I understand.
Well, I hope so. I mean, when I look at infrastructure, I think about the health facilities that are available. One out of eight people addicted to opioids and heroines is in treatment in America. One out of eight. We need to dramatically expand substance abuse treatment for the good of those families, but also for the safety of our nation. Whether you live in DuPage County or downtown Chicago, it's the same challenge.
Senator Durbin with us. What do you want to say to provide optimism for folks in regards to Senator-elect Duckworth, for those of that don't know her? And what do you want to say about Senator Kirk, who you always had a good relationship with?
Yes, and I want to say this first. Both of them, Tammy Duckworth and Mark Kirk, have been through ordeals none of us would want to face, and they showed extraordinary strength and courage to continue in pursuit of public office. Number two, Mark Kirk could not have been more gracious last night. The statement that he made and the offer to get together with Tammy Duckworth is typical Mark Kirk, and I'm glad that that is how he wanted to end it in terms of his service in the Senate. As far as Tammy's concerned, let's be honest. She's battle-tested in life, in the military, and in politics. She's a strong person, has to be the mom that she is, the wife that she is, and now to be our senator-elect. People said to me, what are you going to teach her? I'm going to learn from her. There are a lot of lessons in life she's been through that she can teach me.
One more from you, Pat Brady.
No, so I say, Senator, in the spirit of bipartisanship, let's go over to Trump Tower and have a beer when you get back.
By the way, that's another way to support the president-elect.
Yeah, Billy Goats isn't too far, Pat.
No, we can hit them both.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right, Senator, I appreciate you checking in. Good luck today.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Pat.
Take care. That's Senator Dick Durbin. And again, we talked about this earlier as well, but I'm going to miss Senator Kirk and the work he did. I voted for him, and I hope whatever he chooses to do with the rest of his life, it has some sort of public impact, because I think that's where he's best.
That's where he's been his whole life, too. He's a patriot, and he's been a great public servant, and he'll continue to be involved.
8:19, we got to get traffic here. This is a Wintrust Community Banks Hour, and then Republican leader Jim Durkin's on, the Republicans didn't just win in Washington last night. The Republicans won here. And a lot of people have texted this morning and go, well, how did you guys do with the Madigan list? I know Susana Mendoza won, and I don't know about the other races. I'd have to go through and check them off, but we will try to do that shortly here as well. But Durkin, who you've known for a long time.
Durkin's one of my best friends, and a big night, and I'm happy for him because he's really it's been a tough couple years down there in Springfield.
While Donald Trump was pulling off the impossible last night, something kind of impossible was happening in Illinois, and that was a pickup of House seats. And the House Republican leader, Jim Durkin, joins us now. By the way, Mr. Durkin, Pat Brady and I saw another mutual friend of yours, the great Terry Hanley, who runs that beautiful Cantini golf course the other day, and he says hello.
Prior too. He's a good man.
He's a great guy. Fabulous guy.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Pat, what did Mr. Durkin, as the architect, what did he win last night?
Picked up four.
Well, let me get your mic on. Now try it.
Picked up four, right, leader?
It was a net four. We lost. Actually, we won five seats. We lost one of our incumbents, but it was a net gain of four in what was supposed to be a Democrat year, which was a Democrat year if you look at the state of Illinois. We beat Mike Madigan with his map. We beat him on the ground. We held on to virtually all of our incumbents, and I think it sends a very strong message to the Democrats who run Springfield that they're not going to put up. Taxpayers, voters are not going to put up with the nonsense they've done for the last couple of years. So,
and this was this is the point of the Madigan list. The Madigan list that I've been harping on for the last week was a hope for you to take seriously the fact that you have to knock out the foundation of Mike Madigan and those that support him in that way, or you'll never get Mike Madigan out of Springfield.
And
you've started that.
We did, and we defeated a member of his leadership team in Marion, Illinois, who's been down there for a number of years. And we took off, we picked up a lot of seats in our counties. We held on to a seat in Chicago, which we weren't supposed to win. We weren't supposed to retain it. I think people need to put this into perspective. Hillary Clinton won this state by 17%. We lost a Republican congressman. We lost a Republican comptroller. So the Democrats are now stating this is all just Donald Trump, wave. It really wasn't in Illinois. It was a incredible structured organization, the Republican Party with Republican caucuses, great candidates, and also financial support for the first time, significant financial support for the first time in many years. So it was a combination of hard work, good candidates, and people putting money where their mouth is.
You know, I don't think you can understate how hard it is for Republicans against a rigged map and in a presidential year to win. So to pick up 4, to me, that's like picking up 15 in any other race. And this probably sets you up nicely for 2018, doesn't it?
I don't want to go too far ahead, but I think that it's going to make a significant change on the way in which business is conducted in the House of Representatives. But I feel that we've built something good. We need to continue on. We'll give it a few weeks, but the fact is, we're going to be back and start recruiting candidates. We'll just go about our business of making sure that we're going to be ready for the next cycle. But more importantly, we're going back down to Springfield with a message from the taxpayers and voters of Illinois who are not going to stand for the status quo anymore. Yesterday was a clear repudiation of the Democrats' policies and the status quo that they've enjoyed for so many years in Illinois. And we have defined the Democrats, the Speaker, and also all their members of what they're about in Springfield. And Illinois is now rejecting what they have to offer.
As we go forward towards trying to figure out the more permanent budget, when do you guys meet again?
We're going to be returning to Springfield next week. We have 3 days of a veto session. I hope that we can... the legislative leaders and the governor can sit down and let's start talking about the business of the state. That's something which we need to do. We need to compromise. We need to negotiate. We need to pass a balanced budget. Very simple concepts. But the Republicans, the governor, myself, and the Senate leader, we have for the past from day one have said we're willing to negotiate and compromise with the Democrats on their priorities. They just need to do the same with us. They need to compromise with us on our priorities. That's how we're going to get things done, Steve.
Hey, Jim, congratulations. In my lifetime, this might be the biggest win for Republicans just because of what you did, putting the infrastructure together, getting the financial resources, and putting together a team, you and the governor's team. So it's a big night, and so congratulations to you.
Thanks, Pat.
We appreciate your time, Mr. Durkin. We'll have you on again soon to discuss this. But as we get closer to budget time, please feel free to contact us and let us know that we won't be holding on hour by hour waiting for the four tops and the gov to get this done.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
See you later.
See ya.
Couple more texters. 815, I wish I could laugh, find humor in this, but I'm frightened for all of us. I respect the office, but not the buffoon that somehow was elected. Again, yesterday, buffoon. Today, he's your president-elect.
Well, that's what happened with President Bush and President Obama. It's not productive.
The name-calling doesn't help.
Nope.
All these so-called Christians espousing the views of racism ought to be ashamed, a disillusioned American. I would understand. Look. I'm disillusioned to some extent, but you got to understand something. This country's been through worse. And there's an opportunity. There is a chance. I want people to hear this. This is me saying this. There's a chance that Trump could be a great president. I'm not saying that for any other reason than the fact that in the world of chances, there's a chance he could be a great president. Now we got to give him the opportunity to do that. and you got to find a way to support him. And by the way, if you think I'm going to be sucking up to him, and if you think I'm going to be just defending him nonstop, of course I'm not.
No, and that's not. And that's, we're sitting in this Tribune Tower. There's etchings all over the walls, right, about your First Amendment rights, and you should do that. But you have to respect the results of an election and not spend all the time criticizing. Now it's time to turn to policy and put politics aside.
630, for me, much of the frustration is the fact that many incumbents in my area in the Illinois legislature were reelected and nothing has changed. We'll go through the Madigan list to see if there was any change in those folks.
Well, just the four wins is a big change.
But the four wins is a big deal.
It's a huge change.
It's a big
deal. And Jim was smart not to look to 2018, but we'll have probably a tailwind going into 2018.
847, Trumpster fire in America, and he has the majority in both houses. That's a lot of power to put in the hands of a bully. He cannot be a successful president if he's a bully. That's one thing that absolutely has to change. 815, I'm glad you're optimistic, but I think it's the end of the world as we know it. We need to start the impeachment process now. Look, you got to drop that talk. There is no you think it's damaging now. An impeachment would be a horrible outcome going forward here. He would have to earn that. No reason to believe he will.
Just look what it does to the financial markets when you have instability, like an impeachment hearing. You just waste time. And what happened in the 90s when we did that, we took our eye off the ball with what was going on with Al-Qaeda. I mean, we don't need those kind of distractions.
224, Steve, do you think the media's attention on Trump and rightfully calling him out caused this backlash, or saying Hillary will win caused people to vote or not vote? Yeah, there's some of that, sure.
Yeah, well, he got all the newspaper endorsements, or didn't get any newspaper endorsements. Right. He used that to his advantage.
Yeah, the underdog. Yeah. And last one, this election showed us you have to listen to your customer. TV anchors are shocked to lose all three parts of the government. Shows the Dems didn't know how to listen. And there's some truth in that. Big story next, and Hillary Clinton will speak at 9:30. We will carry it live, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
For those who have chosen not to support me in the past, of which there were a few people, I'm reaching out to you for your guidance and your help so that we can work together and unify our great country.
Got old President-elect Trump to that. See how easy it's getting for me to say that? 6 o'clock this morning, I almost couldn't get it out. Now look at me. Get on board. I'm driving a train. Plenty of room on the Trump bandwagon now, baby.
Yeah, I talked to you this morning about 5 o'clock. It was... I had to talk you off the ledge.
Gnashing of teeth and things.
You need some sleep, though.
I got 45 minutes. Who needs more than that? I'll repeat some of the things we said at the top of the show today because I think it matters. And for those of you who are parents of kids and don't know what to say to your kids, you tell your kids that your family's beliefs and your beliefs matter, and that sexism and bullying and none of that is okay. And the guy that was elected can't do that as president. It won't be allowed. And this country's great. And we will thrive and survive. And if Trump's a great president, we will all win. So find a way to support him, and whatever that means. If you need to grieve for a few more days, break a few things around the house, curse a little bit, get it out of your system. But don't let your kids walk around in a funk. This country's too great. I don't know if you heard, Pat, we had a civil war once. We somehow managed to survive that.
Thanks to a guy from Illinois.
At 844, one of my favorite guests is Bridget Gaynor. She joins us now, Cook County Commissioner. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm okay. You know, I have to say, surprised, shocked, disappointed, you know, but...
what are you, Nathan Lane from The Birdcage? What are you? How do you feel? How do I think I feel?
Yeah, right. I think your point on the kids was right on. You know, I mean, I have a 14-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter and a younger one, too. You draw the line between this is what we believe in, and you have to believe... that you have to be at least aspirational right now.
Right.
That he's going to try to do the right thing. And you don't like it, but I think the knee-jerk reaction that this is all about racism and hate and all that is, you know, I don't think that's fair. I think it's a lot more about how, you know, it's a reflection of how people fear what's going to happen in their own lives. Are the kids going to get jobs? You know, do they feel like they've been totally left behind? And, you know, when you feel like you've been abandoned, you don't mind throwing a bomb in the water. And so the question for us is, how do we make sure that, you know, to quote our old Pat Quinn, everybody in, nobody left out? You know, if that's what people are telling us, how do we act on that and not just be mad about the outcome?
That is the save for the Democrats if they can figure it out, because yesterday they were ready to have the Republicans are dead party, and now the Democrats got to figure out their problem. I will ask you this, though, because I've gotten several texts about this. Does this election say anything about America's reluctance to elect a woman? And I'll just throw my bomb in first. I don't believe it does. I think it says everything about electing Hillary Clinton.
Well, look, it's probably a little bit in the middle. Can you separate out that she was a woman? I mean, my husband, we must have had this conversation 50 times, and he'd say, you'd be out somewhere and they'd be talking about Hillary Clinton. And he said, look, the conversation changes when you or other women walk away. And there is a reluctance. I think there's a reluctance to vote for her, and there was a reluctance to vote for her because she's a woman. And you can't separate those things, just like you can't separate, you know, is Donald Trump a bully and a racist, or is he representing the fact that people want to change the direction of the country? You know, they're inextricably linked. It doesn't make me feel great. You know, I mean, I've also worked in a, you know, large company for the last almost 20 years, and it doesn't make me feel positive about the trajectory, and it doesn't make me feel positive about what the future of women in politics, but that only means that we, in my mind, I think we focus on our local game, because this is where we're not trying to tell a broad message to 300 million people. You're actually able to make change and impact things every day. And so, you know, I agree. Grieve if you want for a day, but then get back to work.
Did she make a mistake by not campaigning on her historical position? She didn't mention, outside of her acceptance speech in Philadelphia, much of anything about being the first woman. Mm-hmm. Did they miss an opportunity there?
You know, I'm not a big Monday morning quarterback. I think that everyone...
Tough break. You got to answer it. It's this show. Get your own show if you don't want to answer the question.
Right. I think that her speech, when she talked about that she was an orphan, her mother's rough life, her life is like a young wife and mother, I think that was one of the most compelling speeches she ever gave. And I don't think they necessarily, it wasn't the missed opportunity of, hey, I'm a woman and I'm running for president, but hey, this has been my life story. I know what it's like to be, you know, young and married and living away from my whole family and trying to raise kids, and her daughter turned out pretty good. I think she missed the opportunity to tell the story of who she was as a person, which is inextricably linked to her being a woman. I mean, look, being a mother is something that most people look to with admiration, and she's done a good job. I mean, like or don't like her, her daughter in a very difficult situation turned out great. I think they missed the opportunity for her to be not the kind of hard-worn, battle-driven, right, tough Hillary Clinton, to, you know, I'm a wife and a mother and a daughter and a sister, and this is what I'm all about.
Hey, Bridget, on a local angle here, speaking of women and a woman with an interesting life story, Kim Fox is in the hot seat here in the state's attorney's office. What can she do? Because we all know about the problems here. What can she do in that office to make things better?
So I think, look, I have a lot of confidence in Kim. I think she's smart and going to do a great job. I think that she's faced with a choice, because there's a lot of people who are going to expect her to completely change the way that state attorney's office operates, which is not fair, and it's not a fair expectation. They're the prosecutor. But I do think she can start to look at some of these cases where people are only staying in jail for the money because they don't have money for bonds, and treat that differently. That doesn't mean you can't still go after the gun crimes and the crimes of violence, but I think she's going to draw a brighter line that says, if the only reason you're in jail is because you don't have $1,000 or $500, but you're not dangerous, you can go home. I think those are probably big changes that she'll make. And, look, that means fewer people lose their jobs, fewer people are away from their kids. If you look at Cook County Jail, 85% of the women in the jail are nonviolent offenders there for nonviolent crime. And the vast majority of them have children who are minors. So that, to me, it never made sense. So I think we'll see changes in that regard, which will be really positive.
Can I throw one more generalization out there?
Yeah.
Are we less racist and more sexist? I mean, we elected a black man. We didn't elect a white woman.
Yeah, he's pretty charismatic, and the Democrats always want to elect a Jesus figure that inspires them. And so, she's pragmatic and competent, but she's not inspirational.
We've been saying that for months.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
People want to fall in love with their candidate, and she's someone who's reliable. That doesn't mean you're in love with her. And so I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think he had personal attributes that made people fall in love with him. It's just, I mean, look at the turnout of young people.
Right.
That will end up being, I think, in a lot of ways, the story. And, you know, my sister is a...
Hope you enjoyed your video games last night, kids.
You're right. Well, it's like Brexit. They didn't turn out for Brexit, and then they're all mad about it.
Right.
You want to say, I'm sorry, that's the way it works. You got to show up. But I was on with my sister, who, you know, big lefty, big Bernie supporter, and she said, do you think Bernie could have won? And I didn't really have an easy answer for her, because, my knee-jerk reaction is, oh, no, he's too far to the left. But you know what? People fell in love with him.
Right.
So, you know, we'll never know the answer to that question, but there was no passion on the Democratic side. There was a ton of passion on the Trump side.
Right.
But I think the takeaway isn't about racism, because that's just a lazy answer in my mind. This isn't a bunch of racists who elected Trump. This is a bunch of people who feel like the country's going in the wrong direction, and I don't know what my kids are going to do. I mean, think about it. You got some guy our age in Ohio or Kentucky whose dad had a, you know, reasonable job, maybe modest, but reliable. They've pieced it together and are wondering, you know, can I make it to the finish line in retirement? But I don't know what the heck my kid is going to do for work. That's terrifying.
It is terrifying, and it will make you angry, and it will make you lash out, and it will make you latch onto something that in another time you wouldn't.
Right, and people are looking for simple answers. And so I think our job and our opportunity now is to say, look, we got a lot of work to do in Chicago. We got to hope for the best with this guy in Washington, and we got to, you know, get behind him, whatever. You got to support the president. But I think that the real opportunity is for us to look at what's going on in our own city.
I agree.
And say, how do we make sure that, you know, that's the work that gets to be done. We don't, you know, like you said, grieve one more day, but then get back to work to make the place we live every day, that our kids live every day, better.
Yeah, and by the way, I think the message you send to your kids is crucial in another way, and you sort of touched on it there. But needing Trump to be great is an absolute fact. It doesn't mean you sell out your own views and you don't disagree with him. If you disagree with what the process he's going through and the way he's handling the job, then you absolutely have to speak up, and you don't have to have a microphone to do it. But just to knock him down, no, that's over.
No, so I have a 12-year-old daughter, and we talked about this today because she, you know, takes after her mother and has a lot of strong opinions, and was having a debate in her classroom and talked about Trump. And I said, honey, look, you're going to keep having that conversation, because only when people don't think that type of behavior, the bullying, whatever, is unacceptable, people don't do it.
Right.
He does it because it works for him.
Right.
It's got to stop working for him, and that starts with you.
You know, Bridget, the Irish families must all be alike, because I had the same conversation with my Irish kids. So
it's not Irish families.
This is the sport we're good
at. You know what that is? That's good parenting. So I salute both of you. I want to thank all the texters as they continue to come in, even the random hating and gloating. It's a lot of the gloating is amusing. It's 312-981-7200. And the Wintrust Community Bank's Heart continues. By the way, the Madigan list, 5 wins out of 8 races. 6? The actual number 6?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys stepped up. You stepped up to help break down the Madigan Foundation, and that will pay dividends going forward.
And the big one on there was he wanted to knock off Representative Mike McAuliffe up here in the Chicago area, and that was his number one target race.
You mean Marwick with McAuliffe?
Marwick, I'm sorry, tried to knock off McAuliffe, yes.
Yes, and McAuliffe won.
McAuliffe won.
There you go.
And his heir apparent, John Bradley, down in Southern Illinois, lost.
Lost to Dave Severin. So if you followed the Madigan list, you got it done. A couple minutes before 9, news coming up on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Right now, a historic moment. We can now project the winner of the presidential race. Donald Trump wins the presidency. The business tycoon, a TV personality, capping his improbable political journey with an astounding upset victory.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton.
Donald J. Trump will become the 45th president of the United States, defeating Hillary Clinton in a campaign unlike anything we've seen in our lifetime.
She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory.
Donald Trump wins the presidency of the United States. He is now going to be called President-elect Donald Trump.
I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard.
History has been made. This is a moment a lot of people are going to remember.
God, Wolf, I know you're up all night, but of course a lot of people are going to remember it. How about everybody?
Hey, I saw him at the convention from behind, and he looks the same as he does from the front. He's got the white hair.
I love Wolf. You know, many years ago when I used to work at CNN for a bit and filled in quite a bit, he couldn't have been nicer to me. He's really a nice man. But he does need to get off TV for 10 minutes.
Yeah, so, he's on all the time.
At 9:12. Congressman Mike Quigley is standing by. How will the House respond to all of this, and how will Congressman Quigley work with President-elect Trump, or will he just stay at the United Center and wait for another Blackhawks game to start? Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
I'm okay. That ladder sounds really tempting this tonight.
Isn't
after
it?
Not getting much sleep last night.
No, it really does. All right, so what's it going to look like when all of you reconvene in the House, bring in the new folks, and President-elect Trump is the new guy in town? You know, because it's important for guys like you who are leaders to step up and tell everybody, look, we got to find a way to meet in the middle and help the president be great.
Well, it, you know, I'm a member of several entities in the House that are trying to solve problems with bipartisan solutions, bipartisan budget working group, no labels. I'm a new Dem, a centrist on fiscal issues. You know, I'm all for it. What makes me worried is it's hard to find a middle ground if you believe the rhetoric that Mr. Trump used during the campaign. Right.
Climate well, there is change. No middle ground. If the rhetoric from the campaign. Yeah. If the rhetoric from the campaign stays is his central message, there is no middle ground.
Right. Talking about immigration reform, gun violence, punishing women who have abortions, and the misogynistic, bigoted remarks, concerns about the Supreme Court nominees, marriage equality. You know, if you give us an opportunity, we can find middle ground. And the irony is, you know, I won a special election. And you get sworn in by yourself. This is almost 8 years ago. So I was sworn in, and I sat down for the first time. And the irony is, it was Congressman Mark Kirk who came up to me. And he was very kind, and he said, just remember that anything that actually gets done here gets done in the middle. I'm not sure there's a middle, as to your point. And I guess the other thing that'll be interesting is now you have to govern. And sometimes when you govern, you have to do things that your base, and his base is way to the right, I would say.
No, I don't agree with that. And let me tell you why, Congressman, because this is a guy who got elected without any strategy and without any concern for what Paul Ryan or anybody else thought of him. I don't even think he thinks about what's going to happen in 4 years. I think he's going to do what he feels is best for him. And I've got to be, you know what, this, Congressman Quigley, and you know I'm a fan of yours, this is why I've got to be optimistic. It can't get worse. It's got to get better. And I believe the system is such, and with people like you in position to keep him between the white lines, we got a shot, because he's got to be great, or as great as he can be, within whatever that means under the definition of Donald Trump. And by the way, I got 45 minutes sleep, and that's all off the top of my head.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Let me just give an example. In March, we're going to have to raise the debt ceiling. All right, I was one of 38 to vote for the Cooper-Lapp-Tourette plan to address the debt ceiling. Pretty unpopular on the left, but it was the right thing to do. Regardless of that, we've got to pay our debts. His in the House Tea Party base, and I think many more, are not going to want to raise the debt ceiling. Will the president support that? Right, we're challenging world markets in the full face.
He's the king of debt. He's the king of debt. He calls himself the king of debt. He'll probably raise it before you get there.
Hey, Congressman McCall, and that's a great example, and I could see that what's going to shake out there. But what about Senator Durbin was talking about something like an infrastructure bill that might get support from everybody? Is that something that might be a good way to start?
Oh, absolutely, and it's a very good point. I mean, I had heard through the grapevine that Mrs. Clinton had talked about $1 trillion infrastructure package. I hear one of the few lights, I guess, last night, Mr. Trump talked about a big infrastructure package as well, funded differently. Absolutely necessary bipartisan support. I will tell you that if a big infrastructure bill had found its way to the floor in the last 8 years, it would have passed. There's Chamber of Commerce support for raising the gas tax to do this. Clearly here in Chicago, from Union Station out in a CTA that carries more people than Amtrak, and they do it in a month, we have extraordinary infrastructure needs. It'll help grow the economy. It's the right thing to do. You're right. I just think that this campaign has made it very difficult to come to the conclusion that anybody's going to find common ground. Maybe this is the respite. Maybe this is the break from that. We can only hope so. I'd be glad to work with him.
You got a lead, Congressman.
Congressman Quigg has always been able to do it.
And so, I'm telling you got a lead. I feel like Brady and I are pumping you up. You got a lead, Congressman.
You're next.
You're not exactly a bright, shining rainbow this morning. Get out there, Congressman, and lead.
You got it. I'm on the right committee of probes. My subcommittee is transportation funding. I'm there, guys. I'm probably about the same amount of sleep. I'm a more optimistic person than I used to be because, you know, the Cubs won the World Series.
And the Hawks are going to win another cup.
Yeah, I'll take four. So yeah, right. I'm with you. We're going to give it our best shot, Joe.
That's all I want to hear. Thank you, Congressman Quigley. It's 9:18. I got a bunch of texts I want to get to. And also coming up here at 9:30, Secretary Clinton is scheduled to make her actual concession speech.
What do you think? What do you think that's going to be?
Short and kumbaya and you know, what it should be. You agree?
I agree. I do agree. It'd be interesting. I was waiting because I was wrong about everything. I was waiting for Trump's concession speech to see what that was going to be, but he actually delivered pretty well.
His concession speech was great.
Yep.
So, can you get Congressman Quigley a hug? He needs a hug and a nap. It's 9:19. Oh, we all do. It's 9:19. We come back. I'll get you some more of these texts. These texts have been great all morning long. 312-981-7200. Hope you follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. Pat Brady's been nice enough to be with us for a couple of days and give us some perspective. And in case you missed it, Pat and I will once again say publicly how wrong we were before the show's over. It's a pool we've been swimming in for a while now. It's 9:19. You're living in the United States of America in all likelihood. And we elected President Donald J. Trump. President-elect. Support him. That's the only shot we've got. This is 720 WGN.
Politics is a lot of horse race, and horse race is gambling. And gambling is, according to the Bible, a sin because it itself is a poison. Mm. Worrying about winning and not what the consequences of winning is. And I think the people who designed our democracy didn't want us in it all the time. Informed, yes. Politicking all the time? I don't think so. Not divided that way. They designed an election that was meant to confuse us and bore us a little bit. That's why the Electoral College exists and C-SPAN. So whether your side won or lost, we don't have to do this shit for a while. You can put away your I voted stickers and you can get back to your life.
Colbert's show last night on Showtime. You could end up doing a cable thing. The CBS late night number is not great. Politics, it seems to be where he's become most comfortable. But did a nice job. I flipped over there a couple times to laugh, and I went, you know, this isn't painful enough. I'm going to go back to the network coverage.
How many people can they fit on a set at CNN?
Yeah, well, you know
like
what?
9 across each way.
There was a point last night where Anderson Cooper introduced the panel, and by the time he had introduced the panel, the segment was over. It's unbelievable. Texts continue to pour in, Pat Brady. And what is your company's name?
Next Generation Strategies.
Yeah, the official Next Generation Strategies of the show. This guy's a texter who grinds me all the time. He's a funny guy, though. And sent me a text with a picture of him. Said, how'd all that Trump bashing work out for you? And it's a picture of him smiling with an I Miss Abe shirt. did I mention we were wrong? Did I mention that?
Oh, listen, I was doubly wrong. I think over 500 days I was wrong.
630 Texter, you're missing the obvious. The vote was all about having 4 more years of Alec Baldwin on SNL. It could be worse. 269, will there be a line of Christmas cards with Melania on them? Nothing says happy holidays like a naked first lady in a fur under the tree.
Oh, man.
630, my only count. You know, by the way, everybody goes, well, what's the first lady's cause going to be? How about Rosetta Stone? Right? Huh? Learning English? Right? That wouldn't be so bad.
Did you see Trump looking at her ballot?
So funny. So funny.
When they were voting?
Yeah, and Eric Trump looking at his wife's ballot.
Make sure you vote for the right
guy. Yeah, it's so funny. 630, my only consolation of this election result is that I'm pretty sure Trump won't last 4 years. He'll end up doing something to get himself impeached. How do we feel about Pence? I think Mike Pence is a good man. I don't agree with his hard right views and his social views. But if you're getting up this morning and you're counting on an impeachment or Donald Trump eating one more plate of fried chicken on the plane and cacking, you're barking up the wrong tree. You need the guy that got elected by America to be great.
Now, impeachment's not just a passive thing. I mean, impeachment's a big deal.
Yeah, it's very bad.
I don't ever want to go through that
again.
Very
bad. I wonder if he still believes elections are rigged. And now that this is over, can you come get the signs out of my neighbor's yard? Okay. 9:27. Hillary Clinton coming up on her concession speech once and for all. This is 720 WG. All right, 9:48 now. We are still waiting for presidential candidate, former Secretary of State, former Senator, former First Lady Hillary Clinton, for what was an 8:30 speech that was moved to 9:30 and is now 9:48 as she goes off into whatever her sunset is.
She doesn't have a driver's license. Maybe she got stuck on the L or something.
She's got time to get one now.
Wouldn't it seem that this would be a day to get in and get it over with?
You'd be on time, that's for sure.
Many of the texts that we've received this morning, and I certainly understand this, are about concerns about specifics that matter most to you. And I'll give you a perfect example. One of the great problems I had with the candidate Trump was making fun of the reporter from the New York Times. I have a disabled brother, a special needs brother, who is a hero to me and to everybody that knows him. And so many of you in this audience have expressed similar views that Donald Trump doesn't care about people with special needs. So therefore, the funding and the intention, not just to that, but to mental health and mental health issues in general, won't be taken care of. All I can tell you is this, and we all could, you know, go back and remind ourselves of the civics classes that we used to have to take. So much of this is going to fall on Congress because Congress brings forth the majority of the bills and the legislation to do things. It'll be up to Trump to sign laws as president. Now, the president can bring forward legislation as well. Again, 45 minutes sleep, maybe talking. I just don't believe that Trump can have any success in any way as president. And we know how important success is to him. By putting forward any of the radical notions that he threw out to get elected. I don't think it's possible.
I agree completely. And Congressman Quigley was on before, and if our first debate out of the box is on the debt ceiling, it's just going to be more of the same. So hopefully he'll come up with some kind of positive agenda. I don't think he can go as far as President Obama did with a big, huge entitlement reform, but with some things that are really going to help allay some of the concerns that a lot of people in this country have that's resulted in the election we got last night, then I think he'll be successful. But if he doesn't do that, it's going to be a long 4 years.
The local piece of this last night, for those of you who missed it earlier, is six of the eight members on the Madigan list that we put out won those races. And those are architecturally important seats to Mike Madigan. We are doing our best to break down the Madigan empire here in Illinois at the same time. And it goes back to something you said earlier, Pat, my hula hoop theory. You got to start with local. Everybody's got every reason in the world, if you were against Trump, to feel terrible today. But as Bridget Gaynor said as well, at some point today, tomorrow, but soon, you got to get over it. You got to put one foot in front of the other, and you got to make your life and your world as good as it can be. We all could be more involved in our kids' schools. We all could be more involved in running for school boards. If you're at all up for the good side of politics, running for local office is a big deal. This is how we get new blood and new people in, like the six of eight on the Madigan list last night. We need good people to be in the system. So while I urge you to support the office of the president, no matter who is sitting in it, I also think this is a time for us to reinvent the wheel a little bit and get reinvested in whatever town you're in the state of Illinois, because we got so much to fix here.
I agree. And if anybody needs any grief counseling, as a former chairman of the Republican Party in Illinois, I'm experienced in losing. I'm glad to help you through it. But I agree completely. And from chaos can come some great opportunity. I'm hoping that's the direction we go.
One of the things that I had so much respect for you over as a lifetime Republican and somebody who believes in the greatness of the foundation of the Republican Party is when you stood up for equal rights in regards to not just being gay, but marriage and things of that nature, and tried to talk to Republicans in this state about getting out of people's bedrooms and getting off the social agenda. I've seen this question several times this morning on text. Can Trump roll back equal rights for in regards to marriage?
It's a Supreme Court decision. I think it'd be very difficult to do that, even with if you could load the court up, but that's going to take time. So I don't think so. The interesting thing too, Steve, and I appreciate your comments about my positions, this has become so much removed now from front and center of people's minds. This is accepted now, and it would be extremely difficult to roll that back. And hopefully he won't even try.
There's not enough time left in the show, and I'm not awake enough to go through all the other claims that he made during his campaign. If Donald Trump has the brain God gave him, he will spend today and tomorrow and every day for the next 4 years trying to figure out a way to actually do some good here. You know, there's an upside to the ego. We haven't talked about this. But if you've got to have a massive ego to run for president, you got to have a massive ego to host a talk show. If you're going to get in front of a microphone in any way, shape, or form, you must think you're fairly important, even if you're not.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And I start with present company. But to run for president, you've really got to believe in yourself. One thing we've seen in the last year and a half is Trump's ego on display in its full glory. He's not going to do this job with the idea of failing. I'm sure we'll get some of the annoying parts of his personality that we've all come to know. But I think that ego could power him. My question is, who does he surround himself with? Because the people he surrounded himself with in the last year and a half have not been an impressive bunch outside of people like Kellyanne Conway. Who does he surround himself with at the highest level of government to make sure that he can do a good job in the White House?
He needs to surround himself with people that know the system. He's not from the political system, and it's great to run as an outsider and talk about all the things you're going to get done. But Jimmy Carter tried that, and it didn't work. You need to get somebody that knows how to work within the system to get things done, and you need to reach out to Congress immediately.
And who in Congress could step up and change? I would say Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, who's not going anywhere immediately, and I would guess would stay as the Senate leader. And by the way, I'm no fan. I think Mitch McConnell is the Harry Reid of the Republicans. But Mitch McConnell needs to step up and try to moderate some of the harsh views of Donald Trump. And I certainly hope Paul Ryan is able to get himself reelected as Speaker.
He needs to leave the President Trump, I think, needs to leave Paul Ryan alone and try to work with him. He's the intellectual giant of the Republican Party. He's the guy with the ideas, a Kemp guy, Jack Kemp guy. And he's the guy that I look to the most to have the right answer. So I hope that they reelect him as Speaker. And I hope the president works with him. He's an impressive guy. He is a nice guy and a smart guy and a real true public servant. And he's a guy I think needs to be listened to by all Republicans.
The process going forward, I think it's January 20th, yep. He'll be sworn in. Prior to that.
We going out? It's fun. You ever been to one?
Yeah, I have. I've been to a couple.
They're fun.
Yeah, they are.
Come on, I'll drive you out. We'll go. We'll road trip it. We'll get a van.
Really trying to stay positive here.
We can sleep in it, too. It'll be fun.
Maybe where we are sleeping.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, I'm not walking close to the road here on Michigan Avenue.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't if I were you. All right, so I'm watching the monitors here, and they are literally just now white balancing the cameras. That's a term for setting up the cameras so the TV people can get their shots. I'm guessing that Hillary Clinton will not be making her way to that podium, Steve, anytime soon. Are you hearing anything from the network?
Yeah, they pushed it back now to 10:30, it looks like, and then that... That followed
That's
by,
unbelievable.
Would breakfast go long?
That followed by the president at 11:15. So
okay, so that's literally 2 hours after the original time. Well, this is the longest concession speech ever.
Well, I think there were some votes coming in from Alaska that they were waiting for.
Hey, Steve, will Bill Clinton be with her?
I don't know. I suspect. Well, I don't know the answer to that. I've seen references to it being a concession. Also, her saying farewell to her staff. I suppose she'll be with her family. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I don't know, including, you know, what this means going forward for all the various parties involved. I can't imagine Hillary Clinton having a political role beyond this. Can you?
No, she'll be running again. That was part of the Saturday Night Live skit. I'll be running again.
Yeah, you know what? This is terrible news for us. Kate McKinnon. Kate McKinnon, the darling of Saturday Night Live.
She really got it down, too.
Yeah, she was
Alec Baldwin, we'll be seeing him for a while.
So, Bill and Wendy are here, and we got a couple of minutes before the news at 10. I don't know if you heard, you guys don't have a show today. We got a 10:30 Hillary we have scheduled for you at 11:15 Obama.
Yeah.
We may roll out John Boehner. Bring him back from Ohio. He may have something to throw in.
Good.
That's all right. We have nothing to say.
You guys want to go to Gene Georgetti's?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
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 Did you watch much of it last night?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I do agree with Donald Trump about one thing.
What's that?
This election was rigged.
All right. Well, listen, I'm not arguing with you.
Do you know I've never been drunk in my life? And last night I thought to myself,
this
if
is
there
the
was
night.
Ever a night to be drunk, this would be the night.
So did you do it?
I did not, but
I
stared at some bottles. I opened up the cabinet and went, look at all the pretty colors.
Did you open them up, sniff them, and then recork them?
I'm hosting a post-election happy hour at Trump Tower in a couple weeks.
How happy is it going to be?
Go? It'll be expensive.
Is the roof open?
Yes. We'll open it up.
There's no ceiling.
Yeah. By the way, is it a happy hour or a sad hour? What is actually the one you're doing?
I think it starts out sad, but it gets happy.
I want to thank everybody for texting in, all you hilarious texters, some of you mean texters, a lot of you nice texters. And I just bring it back to where we started. And that, first off, is thank you, Pat. The good news is we won't be doing this show on Thursday like we normally do. We're going to take a little break from it. But I hope you'll continue to provide political insight. And I just want you to know that all the money that you and I have invested in our prognostication service, I think we're going to lose that money.
Yeah, we've been wrong. But the point is we got to move on and we got a new president. We got to help him out.
Got to support him. If you've never seen anybody that needs more help than Trump, oof. So you got to support him. You absolutely got to support him. And again, just don't let your kids walk around with their heads hung down for too long. And just try to remind your kids that we had a civil war and a lot of things happened in this country. We managed to survive. We will survive this. And the best thing you can possibly do is have them remind their friends to be great. Stop hating on each other and try to make this thing go forward in the best possible way. Tomorrow on the program, we are going to salute a great American veteran with our friend David Hochberg, one of the most patriotic guys there is. And Friday, of course, our Veterans Day special.